The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on Newstalk.
Is now a joint Oireachtas Committee on International Surrogacy, which was a first ever when it was established, has today recommended a whole set of changes and reforms in this area for the first time under Irish law. I'm joined in studio by Jennifer Whitmore, who's a Social Democrats TD and chair of the Committee on International Surrogacy. And I'm also joined in studio by Renee Van Medding, who's a mother of two girls born through reciprocal IVF with her wife, and she's also CEO of Equality for Children. Both of you, very welcome to the studio. And this is a subject that has been talked about for many years, but it got a fresh kind of focus through the Ukraine crisis because a lot of surrogates were based in Ukraine, and we saw Rosanna Davidson and another discussing it, and just even publicity like that highlighted a whole range of gaps. So I'm going to come to you in a second, Rena, but Jennifer, you've got a big report there. It's not that big, but there's a lot in it. There's a lot of very specific. Do you want to just walk me through where the gaps were for you and the kind of reforms you're suggesting?
Absolutely. So as you said, the Joint Oireachtas Committee on International Surrogacy launched and published our report today with 32 recommendations. The role of the committee was essentially to look at all the issues surrounding international surrogacy and really having consideration to the rights and welfare of children, surrogates and indeed intending parents as well. So we had 3 months to actually do the report, to listen to the experts and to come up with the recommendations. And so we did listen to, we had a wide range of voices into the committee. We had experts on human rights, experts on children's rights, legal experts. We had academics in. And importantly for the committee as well, we also had a lot of people in giving evidence who have lived experiences, such as Renee, you know, who have lived through the process. They know where the gaps are. We had parents in and we had surrogate children in, and we also had surrogates in as well. So,
and did you get any sense through all this of how widespread surrogacy is in Ireland? Because I think one of the problems was there wasn't a lot of data necessarily that was reliable. So are you kind of comfortable now we know how widespread it is and who's doing it and what countries and so on?
Well, I mean, there's still, because it's something that I suppose has just happened and there hasn't been any regulation at the state, it is difficult to really pinpoint exactly how many. But I personally was surprised at the number of people who have gone through the process, whether domestically or internationally. And I think the one thing that really came out of the committee was that the fact that Ireland to date has really just sort of stuck its head in the sand on this issue and sort of really pretended like it hasn't been happening. And because of that, families like Renee's and other families have really been left in a legal limbo land, which was obviously one of the big issues that we did have to discuss and come up with recommendations of how we could address it through the report.
Okay, do you want to highlight, obviously we won't get through all 32 recommendations, we'd have to have a special edition, but do you want to highlight two or three biggies that you think are really important?
Yeah, absolutely. I think probably the biggest thing, particularly for parents who have children at the moment, is the fact that we parents should be able to get a parental order, and that will be for both parents. So one of the big gaps at the moment is if you're a mother, and even if it's your genetic child who's a surrogate, because in Ireland the mother is defined as the person who gave birth, that actually that's the surrogate. So this was a major issue that mothers who didn't have any legal connection with their own genetic children, and so that was one of the key things that we wanted to address. So parental orders would be able to be issued for both parents, and in the regards of same-sex couples, that the same thing would happen, because, you know, having a parent not having any legal rights to their own child is just not a situation we ever want to count.
No. And who would issue the orders? Would it be a court or an agency?
It would be a court. And so then, the other thing as well, that the parental orders would provide citizenship to the children that are born internationally. There will be a two-stage process. So we really wanted to protect everyone in this process. So there's a series of recommendations and criteria that must be met, such as, you know, the surrogate must have undergone counselling, get independent legal advice, have medical advice, so that we know that we're safeguarding the surrogates in this process. Similarly for the intending parents, that they've had legal advice from both in Ireland and within the jurisdiction that they're going. So there's all these criteria that are outlined in detail in the report that people must have met. And once that's met, then, you know, the parental order can be issued, and that would happen after the birth of the child.
One of the obvious challenges, obviously, is a lot of the surrogacy takes place internationally in jurisdictions. They might be in the EU, they may not be, they might be at war like Ukraine. How kind of wide does your reach go, or your ambit? Like, will you be able to cut through various blockages in bureaucracies in other places, or, you know, what do you think of from that point of view?
So I think that was a really key thing with the committee as well, is that we cannot control what happens in other jurisdictions. So the reality is international surrogacy will continue to happen. happen regardless of what we do here. So how do we put a framework in place that sort of guides people into the right process? And really that's what we were trying to do. And because of the parents that we spoke to, they want to do the right thing, but they haven't had any guidance from government at all in this regard. So this was very important for us. I mean, there is a bill going through the Dáil at the moment. It's the Assisted Human Reproduction Bill, and that deals with domestic surrogacy, but it is absolutely silent on international surrogacy. And one of the recommendations actually is that that AHR bill would actually provide for international surrogacy and indeed provide for retrospective recognition, because there are children in Ireland who don't have any legal connection with their parents.
Right, even now.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's going to have to be picked up. This is all going to have to be done via legislation, obviously. So you're recommending a set of things. They could all be accepted, some of them could, etc. What's your sense of what kind of response you might get when you put this into the legislative system?
So, as I said, the bill dealing with domestic is going through at the moment. I really hope that Minister Donnelly takes on board the recommendations, uses the summer recess to get those recommendations, to turn them into legislation that can actually be just brought into that AHR. So we have the one bill dealing with both domestic and international, and that's really important.
Okay, let's get a sort of a human story behind all this legislative work and proposals and ideas and recommendations. Renee, tell us a little bit about your story, how you got interested in the whole area of surrogacy, your own personal story, etc.
So I suppose I've been in here a number of times over the last couple of years. And as you mentioned, my wife and I have two daughters through reciprocal IVF. And for 5.5 years, my wife and I were in the situation where only I was a legal parent to our two children. And my wife, who is their genetic mother, was a legal stranger to our children. And I suppose that's what, spurred me on to get into this field.
And did you know that beforehand, or have you kind of discovered in subsequent years that this is a big gap?
You know, for us, we started having our children the year of the marriage referendum. And I think the sense was with everybody, the year of the marriage referendum was that everything was sorted out when it comes to, you know.
In Ireland, nothing is ever sorted out.
But I think that was the sense. But, and for some people, that still is the sense. People can't believe it when they say that kids of LGBTQ plus families are still not equal. People can't believe it. So I suppose for us, when we had our first child, we had no idea that this was ahead of us.
Do you have any idea how many other people could be in your boat? I mean, you're not a statistical agency, but do you think there's a lot of people?
Again, as Jennifer said, there has been no data, gathered in this area, but just anecdotally, there are hundreds, there are thousands of children and families and parents in this situation. So I suppose when Equality for Children was formed in 2019, our sole intention was to fight for equality for all children born through surrogacy or donor-assisted
and just
conception.
To explain reciprocal IVF, because not everyone will know what that phrase means.
Sure. So reciprocal IVF just means that we use my wife's eggs, donor sperm, and then I carried our babies. So I suppose it's just a form of donor-assisted conception. It's one way in which LGBTQ plus people have their families.
And was there a particular moment where you found out that you wouldn't have these rights? Like, were you in a solicitor's office somewhere and suddenly you were told bad news here?
Yeah, it was devastating. And I know firsthand the pain of watching my partner have to live every day not having a legal connection to her children, having to worry about something happening to me. And this is a situation that thousands of people are in today with the absence of legislation on surrogacy, with the absence of legislation on other areas
and
of donor-assisted
conception.
If
they're going to change this, you need it to be retrospective as well as just bringing new people
Absolutely.
In, right? So there's two different
parts. Yeah, and I think people get confused about retrospective, but that just means kids that already exist. And so the AHR bill, as Jennifer referenced, it kind of legislates for theoretical children. It doesn't legislate for the actual living, breathing children that are here today and those who maybe are expecting children and, are along that surrogacy journey. We need to legislate for children who are here now and for children who will be coming in the weeks, the months, the years to come.
Okay, Jennifer, obviously Renee is just one person, interesting and all as her case is, but does your recommendations cover this specific issue and block it off immediately?
It absolutely does. So for retrospective, the committee really decided that actually it wouldn't be fair for us to say to parents, you have this, in-depth process that you need to go through, because they didn't know what requirements were going to be, needed at this point. So we're saying that the retrospective, dealing with children who were already born, it should be sort of as quick and as painless, I suppose, for parents as possible. There's two main criteria. One is that the intending parents were the intending parents at the time of conception. And then the other is that it wasn't deemed illegal in the country where they had it done, and that's just to safeguard surrogates and everyone else in the process. So they're the two criteria, but really we want it done as quickly as possible. We don't want any other conditions being placed on it, because as I said, it's not fair, you know, that you have children growing up that and parents who are in that legal uncertainty.
So you obviously got different members of your committee from different parties. So are you getting any sense it was a cross-party agreement on all of these, or are people splintering, or is everyone happy enough with most of the weight of the recommendations?
Yeah, no, it was a cross-party consensus document. In actual fact, everyone on the committee worked really well together, and you know, we're very, very committed to getting this through. It was a 3-month deadline. We worked really hard to get it done. So you know, there was one dissenting voice out of 13. But you know, I think we...
Who's the dissenting voice? Just
Senator Keoghan, okay. was the dissenting voice. However, I think, you know, everyone acknowledged that this was, it was the key theme through the whole series was, it's the lack of regulation that provide that. That's where the risks come in. If you don't regulate, that's where there's risks to children. That's where there's risks to surrogates, and there's where there's risks to intending parents from bad actors in the process as well. So it's the lack of regulation of the state is really causing the problem. So that's what we really need to step in and step in quickly with that regard.
And I would just like to say, like, on behalf of Equality for Children and the Assisted Human Reproduction Coalition, we have been so heartened to see the work of the Special Joint Oireachtas Committee. Jennifer and her colleagues have done stellar work, incredible work. And what we need now is for that incredible report to actually be converted into law, essentially.
Yeah, because we have such a dark chapter behind this when you go into the adoption world, and I know it's separate and you can't go back and all that, but we did so badly as a state in those areas and generally with reproductive health and a whole range of areas. So this is almost like a kind of a clean slate that we can get this one right. We have a little bit of time, not much, but, and you've got cross-party consensus. It seems everything is lined up, but I mean, there may be somebody in the Attorney General's office or someone that thinks this will take longer. I don't know, but that's probably the only holdup, is kind of a bureaucratic holdup.
I would hope that the political will is there across the board to get this done. I think Ireland could really be a leader in this. And I think when we looked at repeal and we looked at marriage equality, it was actually people who led the government. I think this is a similar situation where people see what's the right thing to do, and hopefully we'll put pressure on all TDs to get this across
okay.
the line.
On that positive note, I'm going to take you out of the studio, Bo, because it's good to see such positive vibes on a piece of important social legislation. It's usually crowded in with so much contention and conflict. It's great to see the agreement. Jennifer Whitmore, as I said, she's a Social Democrat TD and chair of the Oireachtas Committee on International Surrogacy. Renée van Mudding, thank you very much, and good luck to you and your children in the future. It's great to hear there's a good human story behind it. We'll be back with the whole world of exercise and how much you need to do.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.